Father in heaven, Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, all week long we've been inundated with sounds and pictures and video and footage of all that is happening in the world, all of it vying for our attention, all of it trying to cultivate desires and affections in our hearts for this, that, and the other. But now, Lord, we pray for a few moments of stillness, a few moments of quiet, a little bit of unhurried time to sit with your word. Lord, we believe and experience week after week that you have inspired these scriptures. You have breathed them out by your spirit. And in them, we see life. And so we pray this morning that with bated breath and with undivided attention and with eager anticipation, we read your word together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this past Thursday night, I had an opportunity to catch up with some old friends. I haven't seen them in a while. Tony is a one-in-a-million Renaissance man in the body of a green beret. And in case he's listening, I should be more precise, he has the body of a long-retired green beret. A long-retired green beret who's been through a lot. But still, everything Tony does is on purpose. Tony lives with purpose. Tony lives with intention, and Tony shows me how to pay attention to intention. Drew was there. Drew's a poet, a writer, a master craftsman of language, and Drew's love for God and for God's church and for God's word moves me like few other people can. Eric Hampshire was also there. And for Eric, excellence is a habit. Eric reminds me of the saying, the way you do anything is the way you do everything. Because whether or not he leads in a church or plays the piano or collects bourbon or parents his children, Eric has habituated excellence. Have you ever noticed what happens when you spend time with people that you admire, people you love? There's a strange contagion when you're together. You're filled with this odd mixture, this gratitude for who they are and for the time you have together with them, and also inspiration for wanting to be a little bit more like them, to be better and holier, more passionate and more committed to excellence and more beauty and more of God in your life. And after a while, you notice that you start talking like each other. You pick up some of each other's mannerisms, some of your sayings. You start to mirror them and mimic them. You might even finish their sentences. For better or worse, people rub off on us. They shape us. They change us. They mark us. And in the most unusual way, we absorb who they are. We start loving what they love, thinking how they think, and we pick up their commitments, their convictions, even their habits. In some low-grade way, we're apprenticing ourselves to whoever we spend the most time with. I'm sure you've noticed this. Today, I want to introduce you to two people. We're going to read their profiles. We're going to read two autobiographies of two very different people. You'll see who they are, how they think, what they do, and what they love. And at first, this is part of the weekly sermon writing process. At first, I thought I'd only introduce you to one. Proverbs 8 calls her Lady Wisdom. She's wisdom personified. But as I started reading carefully, chapter 8 sent me looking around, and there in chapter 7 stood another figure, Lady Folly. And side by side, these two chapters paint a portrait. And this morning, we are going to read these two accounts of Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom. But I'm not just going to ask you to study the portrait. We'll look close enough, trust me. But as you read, I wonder how each of these two characters rub off on you, what impact they have on you, what they do to you. I wonder which one you are drawn to and which one you want to spend time with and which one you want to mimic and emulate and whose essential qualities you want to absorb. If you would take your Bible, hopefully either you brought one or you use the one in front of you, it will be very helpful this morning to read along because we will spend some leisurely time in this text. First, I will read the autobiography of the Lady Folly, starting in chapter 7 in verse 6, and then we will read the autobiography of Lady Wisdom. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. And all at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way? At the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels. And all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, and all who hate me love death. This is the word of the Lord. Now you've met them, Lady Folly in chapter 7, Lady Wisdom in chapter 8. This morning I want to show you how Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom answer four of the most important questions anyone will ever ask you, and every one of us needs to answer. Here are the four questions. You'll see them. What are you paying attention to? Do you know what to do? What do you love? And who are you becoming? Those are four questions, and we will see how Folly answers them, and we will watch how Lady Wisdom answers these questions. So first question, what are you paying attention to? Hopefully you have your Bible open still, because chapter 7 opens the way it often does. A father urging a son, urging him to write the words of wisdom on the tablet of his heart, to memorize it, internalize it, to make it his own, and to pay careful attention to it. But the father knows how people rub off on you, how they shape you, how they leave their mark. So he warns his son in no uncertain terms, stay away from this woman, from this adulterous woman, from the Lady Folly. Look in chapter 7, verse 5. to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. He knows his son is going to pay attention to her words, the smooth and sultry tones, the flattering comments and the ego boost. Don't pay attention to them. Don't listen to her. The father has seen her work before. He knows how she operates. He knows the impact she has. Verse 7, I've seen among the simple, I've perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. He's drawn in. He has no perspective, out of touch with reality, lacking all discernment, a young man lacking sense, and somehow he's drawn to Lady Folly, a gravitational pull in her direction. Verse 8, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house. Now he's getting closer. He's on her street, he's on the road, he's around the corner from her house, and all of this is happening at night. Look at verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness, it's twilight, it's darkness, where things happen in secret, where no one can see, and there's no accountability. When Betsy and I started dating, she did not have a curfew, and I think her parents trusted her to come home at a reasonable time for a godly young woman. And then all of a sudden, while we were dating, Betsy got a curfew. It's the weirdest thing. One moment she doesn't have one, and then the next she does. And the new deadline came with some vintage wisdom from my father-in-law. Nothing good happens after 10 o'clock. This young man in chapter 7 is lurking in the dark. He does not want to be seen. Lady Folly, if you look here in verse 14, even manipulates him theologically, spiritually, and she starts using God talk to get his attention. Listen to what she says in verse 14. I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. She tells him how spiritual she is, how important worship is to her. She turns the language of worship into the bait of sin. Verse 21, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. She's very persuasive. She has his attention all right. So seductive. She's so compelling. But watch where Lady Folly takes him. Verse 22. I think the original Hebrew here in verse 22 means he's cooked. All at once he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast. All at once he follows her, an ox to the slaughter, and that's the end of him. He's cooked. But now look at chapter 8 and how Lady Wisdom answers this question. What are you paying attention to? She also wants to get the young man's attention. Look in verse 1. She's calling out to him. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? This is not a whisper. She turns up the volume. She wants his attention. She climbs to high ground so she can be heard. She wants to cut through the noise. Verse 2. On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. The crossroads, it's busy there. There's lots of people there. This is a high traffic area. This is in public, not in private, not hidden in some dark corner late at night somewhere. Wisdom has nothing to hide. Wisdom is not afraid of the light. Verse 3, beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, wisdom cries aloud. This is where commerce is buzzing. This is the busiest place in town. The city gates, the center of civic and commercial life, where the big decisions get made. And she is saying, are you paying attention? Please pay attention to me. Verse 4, to you, O man, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. The call goes out to everyone, man, woman, and child, not just a select few. The summons isn't just for one man. It's for anyone who will listen, for anyone who will hear. Lady Wisdom does not flatter. No empty, smooth words for her. Look at how she speaks. Verse 6, here. For I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. Listen and take it to heart. What are you paying attention to? Two very different answers. Now look at the second question. Do you know what to do? Now, across this series in Proverbs, we've been tracking wisdom's practical edge. Wisdom means knowing the right thing to do at the right time in the right place with the right people, knowing how to live. Wisdom is knowing what to do in specific situations with work and with words and with relationships and so on. The day-to-day matters of life and learning how to live in a God-honoring way. But now watch how Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom both answer this question, do you know what to do? Look again in chapter 7, this time at verse 7. I've seen among the simple. I've perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense. What's he missing? He has no discernment. The Hebrew says it plainly. He lacks heart. He can't read the room. He can't read the clock. He doesn't even know he's in danger. He doesn't even realize that he's on a road to nowhere. He's headed the wrong way. He should not even come near her house, and he can't even get a read on what exactly this woman, this Lady Folly, the forbidden one, is about. Look at verse 10. Behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market. She is everywhere, and at every corner she lies in wait. Oh, she's loud. She's dressed loud. It's so obvious, leaving nothing to the imagination. Foot loose, wandering. Every textbook sign is here, every telltale sign, and none of it registers. And what does he want? What's he going to do? Well, he wants to give in. He wants to say yes. Obviously, she has his attention. He wants to go with her. Look at verse 21. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. This does not bode well. He does not know right from wrong. He does not know what to run towards and what to run away from. He just wants to do what feels good, and he can't even control his own appetite. He does not know what to do. It says here, all at once he follows her. There's no hesitation, no restraint. He just wants to follow his gut. He wants to follow his desires. He wants to do what feels good. But now look at how chapter 8, how Lady Wisdom answers this same question. Now you'll see the contrast so clearly. How do you know what to do? How do you live with wisdom? Well, look in verse 5. Oh, simple ones, here's the key, learn prudence. Fools, learn sense, learn prudence. Here, Lady Wisdom is addressing the untutored masses, the spiritually insensitive, the spiritually dull, and she's showing them how to live in the practical, everyday situations of life. Also in verse 12, I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. And this word prudence is so crucial here. In some ways, it sums up everything we've learned in this series. We've together for these last 2 months have been learning prudence. Prudence is wisdom in practice, the habit of discerning the true good in every circumstance and the right means of achieving it. That's prudence. Prudence is humbly submitting to God's word and doing the right thing. Prudence knows what to do in the day-to-day nitty-gritty situations of life. And prudence gives you situational awareness. It's a lifetime of learning from Lady Wisdom. And the question for you and for me is, will you learn? Will you apprentice yourself to her? Will you absorb her wisdom? Will you let Lady Wisdom rub off on you? Will you let her change your life? You see the two different answers to the question, do you know what to do? One has no sense and one has prudence. Here's the third question, and I think this is one of the most important questions anyone could ever ask you, and one of the most important questions you have to answer with your life. What do you love? What are your affections set on? What fills you with zeal or with passion? What do you really want? By the way, you know where we notice these things? At funerals, when people eulogize you, when people speak of you, we all will know what it is you loved with your life and what you were zealous for and what you were passionate about, what your life was about. That's when we will know. What do you love? This is the most important question. What are your affections set on? Well, chapter 7 gives us a very plain, very matter-of-fact answer. He loves the physical affection Lady Folly offers. He loves the touch. Look at verse 13. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she talks to him. And she says in verse 15, so now I have come out to meet you. She is after him. She is pursuing him to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. Oh, he loves being pursued, doesn't he? He loves being the center of attention. Oh, and the luxuries of verse 16, I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Ah, he loves the creature comforts. He loves the silky satin sheen of his 600 threat count from Pecan Alley. Luxury, it's sensory delight. He loves what feels good, and he loves the carnal delight of it. She's explicit in verse 18, come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, the explicit center of their delights, here laid bare. My husband's not home, verse 19. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. We can do this in secret. No one needs to know. I have him on Find My Friends. I know when he's coming back. This is what he loves. But now look at how Lady Wisdom answers the question, what do you love? Chapter 8, verse 6. What a contrast. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Lady Wisdom loves the truth. She loves straight talk, no flattery, no empty manipulation, just God's honest truth about the way things really are. And then look in verse 10. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. See, the question is, what do you love? What do you desire? What are you passionate about? Solomon forces us to come to terms with what I really love. What would you rather have? Would you rather be wealthy or wise? If someone offered you a fortune, if someone came to you today and said, I can make you independently wealthy. You can have whatever you want. You would never have to worry again. Or you could be wise. What would you choose? Proverbs is saying, If you are settling for riches, if you are settling for jewels, if you are settling for treasures, if you are settling for gold, your dreams are too small. You have set your sights too low. You are royalty. You are God's people. You are made for more than that. And so the burning question is, what do you love? What do you really want? Look at verse 18. Because with wisdom, you get this: riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and righteousness, my fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. I hope you see the fork in the road here. I mean, look at the difference. The Lady Folly seizes him. She hunts him down. She kisses him. She is aggressive. She is pursuing him. She lays her hand on him. But Lady Wisdom says, look in verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. You can either be pursued by folly, or you can start pursuing wisdom. I don't know if you know this, but every day, doesn't matter what age you are, young or old, male or female, every day you are meeting these two people, Lady Folly and Lady Wisdom, and every day they are calling to you. Every day they're trying to get your attention. Every day they are cultivating your desires for one or the other. And here you see this in chapter 8. What the scriptures are doing is that Lady Wisdom is wisdom personified. Later on, we don't even have time to look at this. It says, I was with God from before creation. Lady Wisdom is personified as always having been there. And it is this morning as if it is Jesus who is the wisdom of God, who is saying to you, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And ask, and it will be given to you. And seek, and you will find. And knock, and the door will be opened to you. This is the appeal. The chapter gets at this very essence. What do you really love? What are you really after? What is your life really about? Look in verse 13. In some ways, verse 13 could be another theme verse for the whole book. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. You know, if you want to know what someone really loves, what they are really passionate about, what matters to them more than anything in the world, here you can reverse engineer it by asking, what makes you angry? What do you hate? What drives you crazy? What makes you irate? What will you not tolerate? Because here you see that Lady Wisdom says that your love for God, your reverence for God, your passion for God will make you hate evil. You will be repulsed by it. You will be angry about it. You will be upset by it. So here's the question: what makes you irate and upset? And you know, when I was reading this week, I realized that because of the Word of God and the Spirit of God imprinted on my heart, I live with this low-grade being just irritated with the way things are in the world, because you see what's evil, and people love what is evil and hate what is good, and it drives me crazy. So if I'm a little on edge sometime, if I'm a little irritated sometime, if I'm a little perturbed sometime, this is what's happening. You know it too, don't you? Because you love it, because you love the truth. You hate what is evil, and you hate it with a passion. Who are you becoming is the final question. You've seen so far, what are you paying attention to? Do you know what to do? What do you love? And then finally, who are you becoming? Look at the vivid picture painted for us in chapter 7, at the end, 7:22. All at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast. It's almost funny if it wasn't so tragic. And to describe it, Solomon compares the youth to a number of animals. Look at the list. First, there's the ox. Ox is led to slaughter. He has no idea what's happening. No idea what's coming. Folly reduces you to dumb livestock, is what he's saying. And here's another picture. A stag caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. Hunted game. Dumb livestock, hunted game. This is who you become when you live a life of foolishness. Now in verse 23, another animal. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. He has lost the capacity to see it coming. And then in verse 26, for many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Now the deed is done. Notice this. He's gone from an individual, a person, a young man, to a solitary man without a face in the middle of a crowd among a mighty throng of the slain. He doesn't even have a name anymore. He's just an empty face in the crowd. In verse 27, her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. This is where Lady Folly leads him to death. Not just physical death because of stupidity, but eternal spiritual death, eternal separation from God and from the life he offers. And now finally, and I'll close with this, how Lady Wisdom answers this question, who you are becoming. So if you are wise, you are not livestock, you are not hunted prey, you are not a bird in a trap, you are not a nameless person in a crowd. Look at verse 18. You instead will live like kings. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. You won't get stolen pleasures, but you will get well-earned riches. You will have an inheritance, and your life will be filled with excellence. And now look at verse 8:32. Now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Happy are the sons who keep my ways. Happy and blessed are the daughters who watch what I do. Verse 35, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. They're alive. They're not dead. They have the favor of God. You see how both of them differ and how they both end. One ends in death and the other one ends in life. They're two portraits, two people you rub shoulders with. I wonder what this does to you, whether you're 13 years old or 93 years old, whether you're male or female, whether you're in school or have been enjoying retirement for the last 30 years. Every one of us has to answer these questions. What am I paying attention to? Do I know what to do? What do I love, and who am I becoming? And I want you to hear loud and clear this morning that it is the Spirit of God through the Word of God personifying wisdom, but it is really the living Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, who is speaking to you. He's calling to you. He is summoning you. And he says, I want to show you my will for your life. I want to show you what it means to follow me and to be a disciple of me. I want to show you what happens when you listen to my word and you submit to my lordship. Even right now, as you hear the sound of my voice, it is the Spirit of God through the Word of God, through the Son of God, asking you, will you please let wisdom rub off on you? Will you pay attention to her and give her your undivided attention? Will you learn prudence? Will you learn what to do? And will you learn to set your sights on the kingdom of God? Because you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are princes and princesses, kings and queens of the Most High God. And will you continue to become, by the grace of God, the person that you were meant to be? And so that you will respond, even now in a moment of prayer, that you will say, yes, this is what I want. This is who I am, and this is what I want to do, and this is the life I want to live. So help me, God. Let's pray together.